It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here in living color in the studio as usual. And just as a reminder, we will be here again next week at the same time. A little thing like a Thursday holiday doesn't slow us down. So be sure you're here then as well. Welcome all the regulars back because you are, of course, the backbone of the show. We love hearing from you, and we love knowing that you're there. If you're new to the show, either discovered it yourself or you just happen to be tuned to the channel or somebody told you, matters little to us why, but stick around, and you'll learn something in the hour. We always, always mean that when we say it. Now, if you like what we're talking about and you just want to sit and listen, that's fine. But if you would rather talk about something else that has to do with finance, your own personal or at a national level or whatever's on your mind, all you got to do is pick up the phone and dial 904-222-8255. Callers will go to the head of the class, and you can just cut us off almost in mid-sentence to change the topic to what you're interested in.
Unless you're listening to the podcast, then don't call that number.
Well, you can call all you want on the podcast, but you're not going to get anybody.
Yeah. Then in that case, if you want to talk to us, you can call us at 904-685-1505. That's the number for our office.
And you can get the podcast wherever toys are sold?
Yeah, more or less. It's on Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, Spotify. It's everywhere that you get podcasts. It is available.
And a direct link from our website, which is VanWeeFinancial.com. Recently redone, award-winning. I awarded Adam a prize for it, and he awarded one back to me for it. So very, now we have an award-winning
very
website.
Prestigious.
Yes, very. Just think about it. I've never done that for anybody else. Shocking, huh? All right. This week in the market, if you're holding over from Howard and Angela, you heard that I gave it one thumb up and one thumb down. It was a pretty good week. I wish it would have ended a little bit better on the Dow, but this is a classic example. And one of the things that we stress not often enough, the difference between the market and the Dow Jones Industrial Average has never been so apparent as it was on display the end of this week. Earlier, every single major index, not the little small caps, but the major ones, they all set records this week. The bull market is alive and well and thriving, but the Dow had some problems later in the week, and Adam will delve into that and discuss the hows and whys and wherefores.
Yeah, that was a very accurate summary of what happened this week. I like the one thumb up and one thumb down, because every major cable news network that has a business station always puts in big green or red in the lower right corner the Dow.
Yeah.
And whatever the Dow is doing that day, people think is what the market
the
is
market's
doing that
crashing.
Day. Yeah. And Friday was a great example of that. The Dow was down 250 points or something. The NASDAQ was actually up around 80, roughly 60 to 80 points. And
had its first ever 16,000 close.
Yeah, so it was actually a pretty good day. But if you just turned on Fox Business and looked at it, you would have thought, "Oh, what a stinker of a day." Mm-hmm. So just be careful of following the Dow. It's only 30 stocks. They are the largest stocks, so they do have the most pull on the other indexes. But at the same time, it's only 30 stocks, and it's a price-weighted index, so right. It's just not a good indicator of what's happening in the market.
You could see the influence of a single stock on Friday when Boeing laid an egg.
Yeah, Boeing had a big problem again with their 37s, yeah, and it's the gift that keeps on taking from their stock price. So, they can't get it together with that thing. And, and it's being reflected in their price. And that's what really drug down the Dow on Friday. So one stock can have that much of an effect.
Yeah, 29 high flyers and Boeing. And it becomes a bad week. Not so much. Just be careful. Always verify whatever you think. Whatever you talk about or think about with the Dow, always verify and see what the real market is doing, S&P 500, NASDAQ, and so on.
Yep, definitely. The despite all of that, the Dow was down just 1.4% this week.
It that was really, the other part.
Really wasn't that bad. The S&P was actually up 0.3%, and the NASDAQ gained 1.2%. So technology had a really good week, as I'll get into in a minute. The thing that could be shaking the market up a little bit this week, we're definitely seeing COVID numbers rise again in the U.S. and in Europe. And Austria actually became the first European nation to go back on full lockdown. So whether or not that makes sense, they're doing it. I don't think that the science would dictate that, but that's not what the Austrians think. So that is concerning. Everyone's over COVID and sick of it and doesn't want to see it come back this winter. But the fact is it probably is going to. The good news is that we're probably just weeks away from some new therapeutic drugs that are getting released that would greatly, greatly lower death rates. So that's really positive news for high-risk individuals. If they get COVID, these newer drugs are very promising and close to being approved that would all but assure they did not die from COVID. So so great news there. But the fact that it's back and you know that there are certain U.S. states that are going to follow the Austrian model and start locking down again. It's just inevitable. So,
yeah. Don't Fauci my Florida.
We are not one of them. We are very fortunate to live in Florida where that is not going to happen. So good. I'm excited about that. There was also some positive news if you follow the semiconductor industry. That's widely considered the much like the transports were the bellwether of last century, this century, semiconductors are sort of the bellwether of the economy. They go into everything. If you see semiconductor stocks doing well, usually a good sign for the overall market. They hit a new all-time high this week, and that's great news. On top of that, retail sales looked really strong. Jobless claims continue to trend lower. One not-so-bright spot was Bitcoin this week. They lost over 8% of its value. It's still up 47% this year. Ethereum also lost 8% of its value this week, up more than 171% this year. That's pretty insane.
And the reason for those losses is... they're volatile.
Less buyers. That's all it is. Yeah.
There's nothing good, bad, or indifferent that has changed at all. They're just volatile.
Well, in my opinion, there's no way to put a value on Bitcoin or Ethereum. It's just whatever people are willing to pay for it. Yep. So I don't know. that's why we don't invest in it.
Exactly.
Despite the modest week for the S&P, there were a couple of sectors that really outperformed. Consumer discretionary was up almost 4%, and technology was up 2.4%. The biggest loser was energy, down more than 5%, still leading all sectors on a year-to-date basis with a gain of 49%.
Yeah, it looks like there's a chance that you're going to see some relief at the gas pump here pretty soon.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Strong maybe.
This is a historically low period for that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But... as spring inches closer and people start driving again, it might go back up. But you might see some short-term relief.
Biden had the FTC investigate the oil companies for colluding on price.
Right. Well, so you heard what the White House said. Raising prices just because your costs are going up is un-American.
It's unethical. Unthinkable. Immoral.
How about if you're a shareholder and you would say it's unthinkable for a different reason? We'll be right back. This is the Ben Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And the lines are open, 904-222-8255, where you can answer our trivia question, which today, as usual, is sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. Now, I've been trying to figure out how to word this, but I think the simple way is probably the best way. A strange thing happened in these inflationary times, and it happened over the last week. The price of a frozen turkey fell during the week.
That seems like good news, considering
it is good news. And it affects a heck of a lot of people, too. If they, you still have time to get a frozen turkey and thaw it, the fresh ones probably did not come down. But I want to know what percentage the price of the frozen turkey fell over the last week. Just you can give me a whole percentage number between one in 100, I guess. 100 would be nice. That means free turkey. It's not free, probably. Just so you know. So it's 1 to 99. That's a pretty good range. All right, you want to wrap up some more things that went on this week?
Actually quite a bit more here.
Me too.
International markets had a really poor week, if you hadn't noticed. The Brazil was the worst performing market. And it
Why?
Has,
is this a recording?
Well, last week it was up the best, substantially. Yeah. So, but yeah, gave it all back this week. It lost 5.5%, retreated back down to down more than 20% this year. So really bucking the trend, because most international markets are doing okay this year.
Yep.
Spain and Russia both lost more than 4%. Mexico, Italy, Australia, and India all lost around 3%. The lone sort of quote-unquote bright spot was Hong Kong, but that was up just less than 1%. So there really wasn't a lot of places to hide around the world. Actually, the U.S. was kind of the best performer on the week, despite being mixed results over here. Commodities showed a loss this week, and that was mainly due to a drop in oil, down almost 4%. Natural gas, doing what it does, shot up again, gaining 4%, while gold was down 1% and silver was down almost 3%.
The natural gas has come way down after, off of its high.
Yeah, but it's still,
but it's way higher than it was a year ago.
I mean, it makes it gives Ethereum a run for its money and volatility. One area that showed a little bit of good news this week was bonds, which had slight gains across almost the whole spectrum as the 10-year Treasury rate dropped slightly during the week.
Yeah, I think you're going to see. I was listening to Howard and Angela talking about mortgage rates, comparing them to last year, and they are up.
Yeah, but
they're not scary up, but they're up. And no. I'm wondering if we'll see a little tick down because of this now. Stay tuned the next couple of weeks, you'll know.
It's possible, although I don't know how mortgage rates respond to demand. Demand is still really high.
Demand is high.
So, yep. Earnings season came to a close this week with Walmart reporting a very good quarter. Overall, 69% of companies beat on earnings and 68% beat on revenue, and a net of 10% raised their guidance. So 10% more raised guidance than lowered. And these results, if you look at them in a bubble, would be outstanding.
Right. But it's relative.
Yeah, but the problem is that the last few earnings seasons during COVID have been just off the charts, record-setting good. And so it makes this one look not quite as good, when in reality, this was a really good earnings season.
Yeah,
so
these are the kind of numbers I would prefer to see.
Yeah.
I don't want to see those 80 percenters.
Well, the good news is that I think we're almost through with that. The COVID-related trend of analysts under-forecasting and companies just beating by a mile, yep. I think we're done with that. I don't think we're going to see analysts be as conservative, because we're not seeing the same level of COVID impact that we were prior to this. You're hearing about it a lot more in the supply chain and labor shortages, but a surprising number of companies didn't even mention that in their earnings reports. And the ones that did said it wasn't as bad as they thought. There were some exceptions. I think Apple mentioned that their sales were lower because of some supply chain issues. But most companies that mentioned it did not say it impacted their results.
No, and you look at the retail sales. Just at post-inflation, or if you factor out inflation, we're still up dramatically. So don't tell me there's nothing to buy.
Oh, you know, I was out shopping for the first time in years. And
what got into you?
Yeah, well, I do like to go to Academy Sports. That's my kind of store.
Okay.
They have a lot of things that I enjoy buying.
That's where you invest in heavy metals.
Like that lead, that copper, and other things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was surprisingly full. I didn't see empty shelves. And I also, I think it was Target in their earnings report said, our stores are full. Our shelves are full.
I saw that.
We have gotten through our supply chain issues, yeah, and we're ready for the holiday season. So come on, bring it.
Yeah. And if you've been watching the Port of Miami, Florida's about to inherit some of that business, and I could not be happier.
I saw the first ship come through a couple months ago or a month ago. I don't know how many they've rerouted.
I don't either.
That's an expensive proposition to go through the Panama Canal. So you really have to weigh.
But so is waiting 30 or 40 days.
Exactly, yeah. So I'm sure they're all doing those mental calculations, those gymnastics, and trying to figure out what's better.
Yeah, the Secretary of Transportation for Florida was on this morning, and he was walking through the yard such, saying, here's our excess capacity. Come and fill it up.
Nice.
If you arrive today, you get offloaded today.
That's great. Isn't it? Yeah. I'm excited.
And that's because they put $1 billion into the infrastructure down there. Not the part where you get the ship in and unload it, but what happens from there out, rail, highway, so on. They put $1 billion into that area.
Yep.
This stuff's moving.
Yeah, big intermodal project where they can transfer from port to trains to trucks and all of that. So
can't hurt Florida one little bit.
Good deal. Economic reports this week were kind of surprisingly strong with only one notable miss, which was housing starts. Nobody can really figure out the housing market right now. With sales still, they're still through the roof. Inventory is very low. Builder confidence is pretty high. Yet, consistent misses on housing starts and permits doesn't make a lot of sense. I wonder if it's labor issues or supply chain issues. But as I mentioned before, those are kind of going away.
But remember, sentiment had been falling too. In fact, it was very low. But sentiment just jumped up.
Yeah.
And to me, I would think the increase in sentiment would accrue to the housing industry, and those numbers probably will look back on them and say, well, that was a little odd.
Yeah, it's hard to think that home builders were being cautious with demand and potential profits so high.
And it isn't lumber anymore.
No, it's not lumber.
You know, a lot of things got canceled with the run-up in lumber and copper and everything else, but a lot of that stuff is settling down now.
I honestly can't figure it out. I would think that we'd be seeing record permits and starts right now.
One would not be averse to thinking that way. I think it'll flip up. You can't measure every single month, every single piece of data without getting a blip here and there. Year over year, numbers are still good.
Yeah. The last thing I mentioned earlier was October retail sales. The report was really strong with sales up 1.7% versus an expectation of 1.4%.
Yeah.
If you take out the automobiles and gas, which are very volatile and also prices are up on both of those things recently, sales were still up 1.4% versus 0.9% expected. So this was not just gasoline and the used car market.
And imagine what that top line number would be if we could get inventory onto the car lots of the country.
Yeah, they're still struggling with that one, although it is getting better there too. Online sales actually drove the increase. Online sales went up 4% in the month.
That's amazing.
The only two negative categories, both were down by less than 1%, but it was clothing and health and personal care. So everything else was up and up pretty big.
Yeah,
and
electronics are shining again as an asset class.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to see that one, because that means the semiconductor index will stay nice and high. And since a lot of our investments and our clients' investments are in the technology area, that the semis will impact our accounts quite a bit. And I am happy about that.
So, definitely.
What will happen in the next few days? Well, if you go back and just look at history, Thanksgiving week is generally excellent in the market.
Mm-hmm.
December is generally excellent in the market. And if this turns into a fairly normal year, and if Congress doesn't do anything stupid, and there's a capital if on that one, they're trying very hard.
They are.
And things will probably wrap up. I would call this sort of an unexpectedly good year, or an unexpected year that turned out good, or something like that.
I think if you go back and listen to our podcast from January, you'll see that we expected it to be a good year. So far, we've been right, and I'm very happy about that. It doesn't always go our way, but this year did.
There are still a lot of dumb things going on out there, but I swear you could take any one of the past 7 year shows and listen through it, and I'll say that sometime of the show.
But
a lot of dumb stuff going on.
Yeah, but that's politics. Look at the trajectory we were on going into this year. Just take politics, strip it out, and just look at where we were. We weren't even fully recovered, but we were gaining ground like crazy. And that there was nothing really standing in the way of that.
Shortest bear market in history.
Yeah.
And, et cetera, et cetera.
And the retail buying has been it's been off the charts. People prior to the pandemic had shifted away from goods and were buying services. All of a sudden the pandemic hits, they're buying goods like crazy. That's the reason for all these supply chain issues. People, the demand is so high. And so how can that not lead to good things for companies that sell goods?
Well, you don't ever want to see especially the small businesses, you don't want to see their biggest fears being sales.
And right.
That the sales, they survey the people, what are your biggest problems? And sales are usually right up there on the top. And they have fallen, they've just plummeted down to the bottom.
Yeah, they're
There's
on the bottom.
No problem.
Nope.
And that, to me, that says probably if we don't do stupid things with labor, probably going to keep going. And it drives the economy 70%.
Hope you're right.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And the trivia question is still open. Turkey, frozen turkey, actually went down in price over the past week. By what percentage will it be lower if you buy one now than if you'd done it a mere week ago? A whole number between 1 and 99 for percentage. Adam and I were just talking about Irma. And for those of you who know her, she's not my aunt. It's IRMAA, or the income-related monthly adjustment accounts, which is what people who make more than the minimum amount of money annually have to pay extra for Medicare Part B and Medicare Part D. Even if you don't use Medicare Part D, you still pay Irma. And in the words of the Social Security Administration to me directly, it's an income tax.
Yeah, for sure.
It has nothing to do with the benefit level. It's an income tax.
The ironic part is most people who pay IRMA don't actually have income. They're not working. They are getting income from other sources like Social Security and their RMDs and maybe inherited IRAs in some cases. So anyways, it is not really income per se, but it's still taxed.
It's kind of in the same bag as the taxing the unrealized profits in stocks, bonds, houses, whatever, where you don't have a chance to generate the cash to pay those taxes. And any time you run into a situation like that where you have to pay taxes without getting any cash, it's going to be a strain on you.
Definitely.
Now, I thought I had the entire breakdown of IRMA charges for 2022, but I can't find it, so I'll do it next week. But the thing that you need to know, the originally scheduled increase in IRMA at the base level was from, well, first off, the base price of Medicare B was going to go from $148.50 to $150, which was in the range of a 7% increase. But then in the last second, Medicare decided that there's a promising new drug that works for all, at least they say it works for Alzheimer's. Now, that is, to me, exciting, because everybody knows someone who has had or is having problems with that, so it's wonderful. But they're going to charge everybody over 65 for that drug, which means you don't have to use it to pay for it. And I have a problem with that.
Yeah, I didn't love that either.
No. So instead of the nominal, which was still bigger than the Social Security increase, by the way, which is 5.9, this was going to go up close to 7, now it's going up 14.55%.
So it almost doubled, or did double the increase in?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, if you go to our website and look at the latest blog that's in there, it'll be updated this week, but the latest one in there says something about late one Friday night in Washington, D.C., because that's how they do things up there. Mm-hmm. If they have good news, it comes out Monday morning at 10, the whole world's watching, and they tout it on the stations all over the country. But when they got bad news, it's always late on a Friday evening after the press corps has gone home. They slip it into a website or two, and that's that. But this one got slipped in there just like that. But Adam actually uncovered these IRMA increases for next year. And I'm telling you, this can be scary.
It's not pretty.
Nope. If you are married and filing a separate tax return and earn $182,000 or less, you only need to pay $170.10 for an IRMA adjustment. If you make from 182 to 228, that jumps to 238.10. And above that to 284, it's $340.20.
And these are per person, right?
Per person.
So you can double that for a couple.
And it's the combined income that they charge to one person and also to the other person. So if you get up to 340, it's $442.30. And then above 340 with a cap of 750, it's $544.30 each. And if it's above 750, and by the way, that number never got adjusted for inflation this year.
Of course.
Shocking, right? So 750 above, it's $578.30 extra per person, and that doesn't count the Part D IRMAs. So this is, it's its own graduated income tax is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's steep and it's awful and people don't know about it.
No, we've had a lot of potential clients and clients come in shocked by their IRMA charges.
Yep, absolutely. All right, we have. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
Excellent. You?
Doing just fine.
Good. What's up?
I just wanted to call, let you know that we are out here listening. Last week, I couldn't get to a phone, and you attributed the statement why he robs banks, because that's where the money is, pretty boy Floyd.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if anybody's called or not, but it was actually Willie Sutton.
Okay, and I was thinking at the time, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's Dillinger. So I'm 0 for 2. Okay.
Yeah. Everybody attributes it to Dillinger because it sounds more sexy.
Yeah, exactly, because nobody knows Sutton.
Sutton, you know?
Exactly. That's
thanks
great.
For the correction.
The power of live radio is that you can stick your nose in it and somebody will call you on it.
If that's the worst mistake we make in the next this month, I'll be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah, so, hey, the reason I'm calling, I work with a fellow. This is basically, in a nutshell, what's wrong with our country. This young man is 37 years old, and we work a part-time job at Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And he's perfectly content to work the minimum. It's four shifts, could be as little as 12 hours a week, and maximum 20 hours. And last year I averaged 42 and a half. I'm 68 years old. And he's living in an apartment that's subsidized by the government.
Oh,
and
isn't that special?
So he's probably, he's got a master's degree.
Oh, boy.
And he's working as little as possible. So you know he's got student debt. Up to you know what?
Sure.
And we're going to pay for that. And they just took his apartment away from him. So his solution is to move back home with his parents.
Wow.
Isn't that great? You know, not get a regular job. You know, I'd work three jobs before I went back home with my parents.
No doubt about it.
I am so grateful my three children feel the same way.
Yeah. I mean,
How do you have the drive to get a master's degree and not to pay for your own place to live?
Isn't that amazing?
That's crazy.
It really is.
I just don't get it. And, you know, and I've talked to him for 3 years, and I've just totally, you know, given up because there's just no hope. I just don't understand. No. I keep telling him, you're going to be my age someday, and you're not going to have any money.
That's the truth.
You know? Yeah, that's true.
And you're going to have to work no matter how bad you hurt, you know.
Yeah. Tennessee Williams said this, you can be young without money, but you can't be old without it.
That's a good one.
Yeah, he was very prescient, I think. Yeah.
Yep.
Did you want to take a shot at our trivia question?
I just won 3 weeks ago. Am I allowed to try?
Of course.
We'll give it to you. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, it's almost Christmas.
My wife bought a turkey this week, and she had a 71% savings on it, so that's my guess.
Okay, that's a little higher than the average fall, but that's really cool. That's probably a store thing. It shows you they got a little out of hand. They were really getting up there.
They're 49 cents a pound. I pay more than that for bananas.
That's pretty good. Yeah. What store do you know?
I should know this. It begins with a B. It's a regular chain store down here. Oh man.
Well, people can shop around for them, but if you haven't bought one yet, it's a good time to start looking.
Winn-Dixie.
Good.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Winn-Dixie. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, good. You gave him a little shout out.
Hey, I
got something for you. Were you following the shenanigans in D.C. with the BBB bill and the cost of it, you know, it's all paid for stuff.
No, I didn't follow that.
Okay, well, they've been saying in front of God and everybody that this thing doesn't cost anything. It's all paid for. And, of course, the CBO says it's something like $341,000, billion dollars short of that. So I've decided that all of us ought to pay our mortgage next month, and at the end of the year, right around Christmas time, we should declare that they're all paid for. How's that?
There you go.
Just stop
paying. I like it.
Okay, good. Well, see, so you stick around with us, and you'll save some money.
I love it. Thanks, guys. Great show as usual.
Take care. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks,
Ron. All right, we got to take one more break, and then we'll be right back with a whole bunch more goodies. This is the Vanwee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanwee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanwee.
And I'm Adam Vanwee.
And our trivia question is still open, and it's been narrowed down a bit. On average, how much did frozen turkeys fall in price, percentage-wise, over the last week? And we know 71 is too high, and I'll give you another hint. One is too low.
Mm-hmm.
Now that narrowed it right down, didn't it? All right. Who's ever heard of the term buying a dividend? I know a lot of people have. If you are a non-retirement account investor, in other words, if you have a brokerage account and you invest in mutual funds and ETFs, that sort of thing, if you have mutual funds, you might be in for a pretty significant surprise this year.
And not a pleasant one.
I don't like surprises when you're talking about things like mutual funds. This year, because of the wild markets and so on, there are a lot of mutual funds that have performed very nicely, meaning they have made a lot of money both through dividends and interest and through buying and selling the capital gains. Well, under the law, as it sits right now, a mutual fund has to distribute those. Okay. Ben Lieber. All right, we've got a couple phone calls. I'll get back into that right after. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. What's up?
Hey, I'm trying to narrow your question down here a little bit.
Yeah.
It's going to go with 56%.
Leroy is a little high.
A little high, well.
But your bracket is helpful to others.
Well, I do this every week.
I know.
It helps somebody out.
Yeah, exactly. And once in a while, you stumble on something and get it right.
Our other callers are very appreciative of your work.
Yeah, exactly. And we always like hearing from you. Make sure things are good. Got plans
for take the fall.
Okay. Got plans for Thanksgiving?
Staying home.
Get a cheap turkey. Frozen.
Yes. No, I bought mine a month ago.
Oh, all right.
Paid. But I really don't want to know and I don't care.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
We'll see what we can do. Take care of yourself.
Right,
good to hear from you.
Have a good day. Bye.
Good morning. I'm not sure who we have.
You have Phil from Orange Park.
Phil from Orange Park. Good to hear from you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Prematurely, I would like to wish you and your family and loved ones a very, very happy and blessed, enjoyable Thanksgiving, and because you deserve it. And we appreciate here in Northeast Florida all the good that you do. You bring together professionalism, great demeanor, smooth flow, and knowledge beyond compare, and I thank you personally for all the good you do. I'm going to try to take a shot at, I'm going to say 41%.
You are, huh?
Yeah.
What if I said you were within 0.3 of a point and therefore a winner?
No. Give it to somebody else, please.
Okay. First caller.
I still want to get, between now and February, health permitting, I'm going to get you guys out to good steak dinner or something like that, and we'll meet in person and chat for a little bit. If I have to send a limousine to pick you up, it's all right. No problem.
Well, thank you so much. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. I'll spread your generosity out a little bit. Thanks.
I appreciate the gift anyway, but thanks for all the good you do. God bless. And keep the lady who answers the phone on the payroll. She's awesome, too. Okay?
She's a good one. We could give her a prize.
Why don't you give her a gift card of her choice or something like that?
Well, I don't think employees are allowed to participate in this one, so we'll have to take care of her separately.
I think you're right about that. Take care, okay? Bye-bye.
Thanks, Phil. All right, first caller. Phil donated his prize. First caller gets it. Just call and say, I want it, and Lauren will take your name and number and address, and we'll send it to you. Compliments of Phil. Now, how's that for a holiday spirit? Okay, well, buying the dividend is a process that is usually done in the ignorance of the possibilities. In other words, it's an accident. You don't look, and here it comes. So what happens with the funds is on one particular day, there's actually 3 days that are involved. The first one is the declaration date, which is the date of the formal announcement that a dividend is going to be paid. Second is the record date, which means the last day that the owners of record on those shares will get that dividend. If you sell it before that, you don't get it. If you sell it after that, you do get it. And then there's the payday. The ex-dividend day is the next day. We'll start with that. That means it's the first day you can buy it without buying into the dividend, hence the term buying the dividend. And then somewhere down the line, they will pay out the actual distributions. Now, a lot of mutual fund investors reinvest their dividends. So when they get paid a dividend, they don't really know it. They don't really see it. And this is what we were talking about a bit ago, where you're paying taxes on something you don't really have in your hand. Now, what can happen on a big year like this is those payouts can be huge. Adam came up with a number, like big ones might be 40%.
Yeah, and some of the commodities funds, there's talk that some of these are going to issue capital gains of around 40%.
So let's say you've got shares of a fund that are selling for $50 arbitrarily. Well, one day you got $50 shares and X amount of them, and the next day you've got 50%, or
you've got
mixed up which way I did. You've got 40% less shares, $20,000 worth, and you've got a taxable event that's $20,000. But you have $50,000 worth of the mutual fund. That did not change.
Right.
What changed is the bill to you for the distribution, for the taxes on the distribution.
Yeah.
How do you avoid that? Well, you go to the website of the mutual fund, and I have for years and years used Oakmark funds because we're familiar with them and have been for a long time, and they generally put it right out in the public to know. So I checked Oakmark funds for the 2021 date. They have not issued the amount yet or the percentage yet, but here are their dates. The record date is 11/26/21. Now, Oakmark's always been a December company, and a lot of companies have always done December. Like so many things, these seem to be getting pulled back a little bit, and it's because I think there's so much work to do before the end of the year. Mm-hmm. So be very careful starting right now. Their ex-dividend date is 11/29, and the pay date is 11/30. And distribution amounts not yet out doesn't mean that they're not going to be huge. It doesn't mean they're going to be huge, but I suspect they'll be pretty good. If you want an indication of that, you can always look at the turnover ratio of the commodities or stocks or whatever in your funds. And if the turnover rate is high, that means they're taking a lot of capital gains. Anyway, if you want to not have to pay the dividend, if you don't want to buy that dividend and get stuck with it, then you have to wait till the ex-dividend date to buy it. So that's 11/29 in this case. So don't buy it now. Don't buy till the ex-dividend date. You'll have exactly the same amount of money invested in Oakmark, but you will not have a humongous tax bill to go for it. Mm-hmm. That process is called buying a dividend, and you do not want to use it.
And so this is why we prefer ETFs when possible.
Exactly.
They don't have a tax efficiency built in.
Although one of the usual idiots in D.C. is trying to take that away right
now.
But
for now, they will not issue capital gains, and you will not be hit with this.
The reason for the success of the ETF is largely that.
Yeah, one of many, I think, tradability being the other big one.
And, of course, you got to remember that if you're in a tax-deferred account or a no-tax account like a Roth IRA, don't worry about it.
Yeah, it doesn't
matter. Going to buy it.
That's right. Speaking of things that you need to think about this year that may not normally be the case, large capital gains distributions being one of them. The other one is we got a letter from our custodian, TD Ameritrade, saying that all RMD requests, so required minimum distributions that require a new move money or IRA distribution form, must be in by December 3rd. Now, you may not even know what all that means, but the point is that these custodians are short-staffed. They are extremely busy this year. they are going to be scrambling to make year-end deadlines in a lot of cases. If you have not taken your RMD, I would highly, highly recommend that you look at doing so very soon.
Yes. And the primary reason we say that is because the penalty for not taking it is 50% of the RMD.
So if you have a $20,000 RMD due this year and you do not take it by the end of the year, you could be looking at a $10,000 tax bill. Now, if it was because the custodian didn't do it in time, I'm pretty sure the IRS would forgive that. But do you really want to go through all that?
And if anybody gets caught like that and you're doing the woe is me come January, call us. There are things that you can do to help yourself. And generally speaking, if you know how to tool around through the IRS, you can get some of that type of thing corrected. And they'll be very understanding. I know every time I say something halfway decent about the IRS, everybody goes, what? But really, Adam and I have had so many dealings with IRS, and I can't think of any that came out horribly. And they've all been actually
pretty good.
Pleasant.
Yeah.
Good. So fear them not. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. See you next time. This is the Banway Financial Hour.